quarter of the country's primary and intermediate schools are now signed up for a supplementary science resource, and the waiting list is growing. The House of Science was set up by former teacher Chris Duggan almost a decade ago, and now 515 schools are receiving practical kits aimed at raising science literacy. We've spoken to Chris previously about the resource, and she's with us again to catalogue the development, growth, and the ongoing need and demand for the hands-on learning program. And shortly also we'll welcome Ngāi Primary Principal Craig McFadden, who said there's much excitement at his school every time the big blue box of House of Science goodies arrives. He says kids can't wait to get stuck in. Morena Craig, morena Chris, kia ora kōrua.
Yeah, tēnā koe. Kia ora.
Lovely to have you with us. Well, Chris, welcome back. What's happened since we last spoke?
Gosh, I was looking back through my diary. That was over 5 years ago, and a lot has happened. Back then, we consisted of a small group of charitable trusts that were delivering the services to a few schools. Now we are a nationally coordinated service in 18 regions, and as you said, reaching 515 schools every fortnight with fantastic resources. I have a huge staff. We're developing new kits all the time. We are, as you said, trying to reach more schools as they are just desperate to join the program. So, it's kind of gone viral in a good way.
Let's explain perhaps the background to that. And as I said a little earlier, we know that there's a real issue with teacher confidence when it comes to the teaching of science. We know that from talking to the people who train the teachers coming out of our system. And is this just on the money for that? Is that the need you saw, or is that the need you've responded to?
Yeah, that's right. I was a secondary school science teacher for many years and saw just every year the new cohort of year nines arriving at college just telling me they'd never done science. And that, you know, a lot of secondary school teachers will know exactly what I'm talking about. But when in 2013, the Education Review Office published a report that said only 27% of New Zealand primary schools actually have effective science program in place, I was gobsmacked. I was quite horrified, to be honest, and I thought someone needs to do something. So I did.
Carry on.
Sorry. So we started delivering a library of resources to Tauranga schools. That's home for me. And word spread around the Motu, and more schools wanted to get on board. So we set up different branches around the country. But basically, it's a resource box with up to 8 different activities around the theme. It's set up so that the kids can get hands-on experiences, actually do science. It's not just about the teacher demonstrating. And it gives teachers those crucial resources that then in turn give them the confidence to deliver great science lessons on a regular basis.
Just explain, if you would, or actually, Craig, you might want to explain what the primary science curriculum says, and then we'll talk about how teachers may or may not struggle, perhaps, with their own confidence or their own skill set to deliver what you would hope would be delivered to the kids. But can you explain first what the science curriculum says for children at primary level?
For me, the nature of science is one of the strands of the New Zealand science curriculum that is hugely important. It's about being inquisitive and having that thirst for knowledge. We look at our children and we don't want to fill them full of facts. We want to develop kids that have critical thinking skills. And I know that a lot of jobs nowadays are looking for children that are able to have curiosity and communication skills, that are able to have work together in groups, that have got creativity and patience. And for us, the House of Science kits are a wonderful way to ensure that we get a balanced curriculum and that we really do tackle that nature of science strained out of the curriculum too. So it's fantastic use.
What difference has it made to teachers? And I don't want to focus specifically on your school, but from, you know, getting around, what difference has it made to teachers when it comes to their own sense of limitation or intimidation around science? What does this do for them?
Well, look, for teachers, it's a confidence boost in the sense that everything is in the box. Everything that you need is in the box. We can go online. We order the boxes that fit with what we're currently teaching in classrooms. So it's an integrated approach. But more so than that, I think for us as a school, our funding only goes a certain extent. So being able to utilize all of these resources without actually having to put that initial outlay And then in saying that, storing everything as well, for us, it's just a fantastic use of our operational grant that we can spend X amount of dollars every year on a subscription to House of Science. And then we know that we're going to have all the resources, all the equipment to teach the lessons that we need to. And the teachers will have those, have it all planned and everything for them as well, which is fantastic.
The lesson plan comes with it.
Correct.
And what sorts of things will they do at different levels of primary school?
Chris, you might be able to help us out with this one, but my kids absolutely love several of them. The Whodunit kit is an absolute favourite for them. Dem Bones is quite a good one when it's based around the human body. But the favourite one for all of my children is Food for Thought. So it's about food sciences and ingredient functions and whatnot. One of the activities in there is actually eating a dried cricket. And for the kids, is you know, that's something that's really different, and it's something that they remember for a long, long time. As I said to somebody else the other day, they've asked me several times over now if I'll eat it, but I'm just not brave enough for that one just yet.
Come on, Craig. It's a wonderful source of protein. The hands-on side of it too, Craig, is that another thing, again, for teachers, and let's speak generally, that yep. even if you you know, understand the principles yourself as an adult, you went through your own yep. education, there's a lack of confidence sometimes in actually doing the physical stuff, like not just being about, you know, teacher up front, as we said, explaining and expanding, but actually helping a classroom do the physical stuff. And is that something else where this fills a gap? Not all of us feel like we're confident enough to make our own resources, you know, as teachers, and here it is done for you.
Absolutely. You know, making those resources, time is precious and anywhere, especially schools. But having hands-on activities such as this, that's the way a lot of our learners learn nowadays. They don't sit there in rows and recite things rote like potentially we used to years ago. Hands-on learning is crucial because we want to develop these children for a world where they're going to be hands-on. We want them to be creative and problem solvers. So being able to do this now at 5 to 11 years old for us here at North Tower School, it's key. It's absolutely crucial that we get those children out there, and that the teachers are in a position to do that as well. They have the confidence, the resources, and the time to do so.
A child's concept as a learner is fundamental to how they learn, particularly at this age. And is the presence of te reo in these kits welcome as well? We talk a lot about children needing to feel like this is for them when we talk about learning and it's not someone else's. Is that an important factor for your students?
Absolutely. So here we're lucky enough to have 15 classes of mainstream and 3 classes full immersion te reo Māori. So being able to provide the same resources to my Rumaki unit in te reo Māori brings that inclusion aspect into it as well, so that they are just as welcome to use the resources as our mainstream, and they are able to provide those lessons in te reo Māori.
Kia ora. Chris, can we just pick up again on aspects of the curriculum that are covered in the kits? Craig touched on 3 of the kids' favourites. What else is covered and how?
Yeah, I'm not allowed to have favourites because it's like saying which of your children is your favourite child. But there are 40 different topics now, Catherine, and we are just so confident that we can cover the whole curriculum in that. And we cover both living world, you know, material world, physical world, planet Earth and beyond. And all of them have that nature of science strand and the science capabilities, which are those key skills that students need woven through them and contextualised through these really exciting learning opportunities. So, yeah, I can list a whole lot more. We obviously the forensics, there's Whodunit, there's also Who Did It, because Whodunit was so popular, we needed version 2. And there's horses, biosecurity, aquaculture, a whole range of different topics that we have. And like Craig said, the teachers can choose whatever fits with their particular localised curriculum and their overarching strands that they're delivering for the year or for the term, and there's something there for everyone.
Do you keep updating it too? Because the boxes don't just go and get delivered and sit there for the next 20 years, do they? Do you take them back under the subscription model, and are you updating it reasonably regularly?
Yeah, that's right. So it's a library, basically. So it's a community asset that gets delivered and collected on a fortnightly basis to the member schools. And each of our kits is on a minimum of 5-year review cycle. and they are reviewed and developed in really close collaboration with New Zealand scientists from around the country. So people from GNS and McDermott Institute, you name it, they're all heavily involved in our topics to make sure that whatever we deliver, even to the five-year-olds, reflects current New Zealand science.
How are you funding all this then?
Funny, that's always a question that comes up. We have a very generous local partner in Tauranga, the Wright Family Foundation, who have been a cornerstone partner for over 6 years, and we're very grateful for them. We rely heavily on community grants and sponsorship as well as donations. And of course, since COVID, the grants have become a lot harder to access for a variety of reasons. We do charge schools a small subscription fee, as Craig mentioned, that covers about 10% of our total costs. So we need to find the funding to cover the other 90%.
And those schools, I imagine some of them, they're looking for a sponsor too. I think, is it about $3,000 a year for a kit?
So you can take a zero off that.
Oh, 300, I beg your pardon.
500 to 800 is your bronze subscription, and for that the school will get one kit every fortnight delivered, collected and looked after on their behalf.
That's not too bad when you look at your operational grant, is it, Craig?
Well, as I mentioned before, there is no way that we would be able to purchase all of the resources, store them safely and keep them up to date in a way that teachers are able to access them as easily as they do with House of Science. To be perfectly honest with you, we buy a platinum and a bronze subscription ourselves every year. We see it as that important for our children's learning that that my board of trustees will happily spend that much money on them. It's absolutely fantastic use of the money.
Chris, you saw the need. You've seen the growth to this extent already. What's been the feedback along the way? Yes, it's wonderful to have, but what else have schools told you about the challenge of teaching science?
Yeah, as Craig mentioned earlier, the time factor is huge. Teachers know that hands-on learning is really important, and science is a perfect example of where hands-on should be, you know, your go-to. But to find the activities, find the equipment, trial it yourself before you deliver it to a class, and often pay for it yourself, which many teachers have done in the past. If they want to teach science, they'll have to fork out the money themselves. And so to see that, you know, what we're delivering and the support for teachers as well, it goes a lot deeper than just the kits that shows up. There's online resources around how it links with other resources they have sitting in their library, how they can bring all that in. There's links to local scientists they can contact. It's a really comprehensive wraparound service. And a teacher last week actually told me, she said, "Chris, this is science heaven."
Is there a waiting list? I mean, are other schools saying we want this too?
Yeah. Our only barrier is funding. We can't take on as many schools as we'd like to join because we physically haven't got the number of resource kits in our 18 libraries around the country to service them. As soon as we get more funding, we put that into adding kits to the libraries, and then that allows us to take more schools on. But until we do...
Well, wouldn't you think that many of those in the tech industry right now screaming out for a pipeline of students capable of going on?
Exactly.
There'd be any number of businesses for whom this would be a drop in the bucket.
Exactly. And many of them, though, are still focused at that senior, secondary or even tertiary level.
Yeah, but how do you get there? How do you get there, right, if you don't have your primary grounded?
Exactly. And it's a lot of research has been done around the age that students make decisions about their future. And by the time they turn 10, that's year four at school, by the time they turn 10, they've pretty much decided what kind of career they can envisage themselves in the future. And if science hasn't been part of their life until then, very high chance they cannot ever see themselves or envisage themselves in a science, technology, engineering type of career. So we have to get to them in primary school. There's no ifs and buts about it.
Have you heard anything from your secondary peers that they're starting to see a difference in some instances? I know you haven't been around that long, but in some instances, are secondary peers saying people are starting to reference this?
Yeah, especially in regions where a large number of the feeder schools have been involved for a number of years, and they're beginning to see that entry level into secondary science, it's actually where it should be, not way back below level. So, yeah, the secondary schools are beginning to see the impact and able to start teaching where they should be with the Year 9s when they arrive at school, which is really exciting.
Miki Nui, thank you both very much. Chris Duggan speaking there and Craig McFadgen also. Chris is with this initiative, the House of Science, which has gone gangbusters since we last spoke to her about it a few years ago. And Craig McFadgen is the principal at Ngongatahaa Primary School, which is one of the schools using it.